We're going to spend every Monday or so discussing a little bit of Ramban. Ramban is really a fundamental sefer. I strongly recommend starting to go through the Ramban, buying yourself a Ramban, underlining. And the thing with the Ramban is, like any fundamental sefer, there are very rare money shots in which it says something incredibly revolutionary that makes your head stand still and all of a sudden it's a paradigm shifter. That's true in general. People that are very revolutionary, they'll say these provocative things, these very, very errant ideas, and they'll all of a sudden make major changes, you'll quote them. The foundation is just building brick by brick. I remember about 15 years ago, people came over to me, why are you always quoting Rav Amital? Why aren't you quoting Rav Lichtenstein? And my answer to them was, in some ways, Rav Aaron's unquotable. Partially because he writes in ways that people can't always understand, but also because he was discussing foundational elements. When you put a brick and another brick and another brick, then you have a wall. All of a sudden, you want to put a marble staircase, it's going to be noticed. Which contractor is going to bring in the marble staircase? Who's going to bring in this special chandelier? But when you're building bricks, it's very, very unnoticed until you see the entire wall, the entire system. So I'm going to try to read a few Rambans about within each section of the Parsha, rather than one Sfas Emes, we'll talk about the Shem Yishmuel, and we'll learn a little bit of Chassidus. It's not going to be one particular statement, but a little here, a little there, another idea, another concept. Okay, so number one. What was Chum's sin? What was the problem with Chum? When Canaan gets cursed, but it's really Canaan is Chum's child, what was Chum's sin? We don't really see what Chum's sin was. The Gemara says, of course, and the Gemara says this is an issue, and because of that, the Gemara says that he was actually involved in a salacious experience with his father. But it doesn't sound that way from the Pesukim, and obviously Chazal were trying to criminalize or vilify Chum because he gets punished so severely, and yet the question whenever Chazal keep one sins that aren't in the Pesukim, like Bilam, what are they trying to accomplish? But that's beside the point. The Rabbanim wants more of a literal interpretation of the Parsha. What does the Parsha say? Whatever happened historically, what's the message of the Parsha? So basically the Rabban says that Chum had seen what happened to his father, and he spoke about it in an open fashion. He told people about it. He publicized it. So he wasn't involved in any sexual interaction with his father, any castration, or anything like that. Gemara says, but he should have been more private, should have been more discreet. This is not something that people should know about. First of all, it's his father. It's not just his father. Noach is the new paradigm. So as Noach's reputation is seen by people, then that will determine the image of humanity, the evolution of humanity, the culture of humanity, which is what makes Noach's drunkenness so traumatic, because you're the first person, you're starting a new era. The last thing you should do is provide this undignified, animal-like image of someone rolling around drunk. So it's not something you want to speak about, you want to be discreet about. Here's Megala Sod. So Megala Sod and discretion and knowing what to say and what not to say. First of all, it's not one of the Gimel Chamorot when you think about all the severe averos. We don't think about that immediately, but it is something to consider. What do you share? What information do you share about people? What information do you not share about people? Now, in today's world, that has to be very carefully calibrated. If that's taken too severely, and you have the Shonder effect, and we don't want to expose our dirty laundry in public, then you can victimize your own people. And there have been so many victims in our communities, because as a community, we're sometimes wary of going to the authorities, or sharing scandals, or blowing the whistle on people. Obviously, victimization is much more severe than lack of discretion. And we have to have more of a transparent world, especially because we're living in a much more pressured world with a lot more, unfortunately, people take advantage of other people. But assuming there aren't victims, it's just a person and his reputation, you have to learn in life, not just about reputations, but what things, like people have very loose mouths today, especially because of social media, because we're pressing buttons so quickly, we feel such a pressure to respond, it starts to bleed into our verbal conversation. You have to be careful what type of information. One day you'll be a father, Mitzvah Hashem, you'll be a husband, you'll be at work. What type of information do you share? What type of information do you not share? The boundaries aren't always that clear. But it's important that you think about the issues, because you can hurt people in your life, not just through malicious lashon hara and reputation, but you can hurt them just by sharing things that maybe could have been kept quiet. Okay, and again, it's a very, very delicate boundary. If people will hear, oh, keep quiet, then you allow hypocrisy and you allow abusive behavior. But from sin, the sin that leads to his children being turned into avadim, because he's careful about discussing Noach's flaws and Noach's humiliating moments in a public setting. So that's one Ramban. The next Ramban is, after Noach curses Chum to be an Eved L'Avadim, the language of the Pasuk is, Arur Kenan Eved Avadim Yalechav, then Noach all of a sudden starts speaking about shame. Baruch Hashem Elokei Shame. So now we're getting closer to Avram, because Shame was at least one of the two heroes of this episode. What's the difference between Shame and Yafes we won't discuss right now, but Shame is going to be the progenitor of Avram, and we'll have the genealogy, and we'll see in a moment why the genealogy. V'hi chinan eved lamo. Yafta lukim liyefes v'yishkan bi'alei Shame. So now there's some Yafes Shame relationship, which we'll say for Hanukkah. This is a famous Hanukkah pasuk, relationship between Yafes and Shame. But once again, now that we've mentioned Shame, v'yishkan bi'alei Shame, v'hi chinan eved lamo. So it sounds as if there really are two, possibly even three narratives here. One is the punishment for Ham, that his children, namely Kenan, who was his oldest child, according to Moshe Mefarshim, and his only child, possibly, his progeny will be Avadim. So it's really, according to Moshe Mefarshim, it's Ham's sin, that his Ham's failure, that his children are punished for and suffer because of. But it sounds as if there's a second narrative, and that's not just that Ham and Kenan are being punished, but that the punishment is being directed towards Shame. V'hi chinan eved lamo, v'hi chinan eved lamo twice. According to the Ramban, this is already giving us an advanced promo for Parshas Lech Lecha. What will happen in Parshas Lech Lecha? Avram will travel to the land of Canaan. Who's living in Canaan? Canaan. Who's Canaan? The child of Ham. And Avram will begin the process by which the land which Canaan had inhabited will transfer to Avram. So the Avdus is not just servitude and slavery, but it's the lands that Canaan occupied. They were unable to reach human progress, human discovery, monotheism, morality, because they were subjected to Avdus. Because of that, the land of Canaan will be Eved Lamo, will transfer to Shame. So this is a justification for why ultimately Hashem moves the jigsaw puzzle around and takes the land that originally belonged to Canaan. We don't really know who Canaan is anymore, but the land that originally belonged to the tribes of Canaan and transferred it to Avram. Not only as a punishment, but as a consequence of their avdus, they weren't able to advance their civilization. They were lost in moral mayhem and theological confusion. So ultimately, this is the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to transfer to Avram. So that's why there's a second layer to the conversation, not just the avdus of Ham / Kenan, his child, but the Eved Lama. Okay, now, one final description, because it's about the Ramban, it's also about a very, very famous Mor Nevuchim, which Rabban quotes. Rabban very often quotes the Mor Nevuchim. So after the whole story finishes, the Ela told us B'nei Noach is a very extensive description of B'nei Noach, their progeny, and Me'ela Nifredu Eeha Goyim Be'eretz Hasam Ishlu Shanal Mishpachasam B'goyehem, in particular Yefes. Ham seems to live in one particular area, but Yefes, they spread out to all the islands, and some of these names we start to find familiarity, even if they're not correlative to the modern names, Yavan, and Ashkenaz, and Kitim. So some of these names of B'nai Yefes we recognize. Ish l'shanol mishpachosim megoyim. So again, keep in mind, this is a promo for Migdal Baba, which is the end of Noach, where all these languages, right, this is probably post-Migdal Baba, when they have different languages. Ish l'shanol mishpachosim megoyim. So this is probably a consequence of Migdal Baba. So there's a little lack of chronological order in Parshas Noach. But what do we have to know about this? Why is it important for us to know about the spread of Noach's children, in particular Yefes? So many answers to that question. But according to the Ramban, one of the answers, because we're getting close to Avram, so we want to just dispense with Ham and Canaan and Yefes to get to Shame. But the Ramban quotes the Rambam. That essentially, the Rambam says, how do we know that Har Sinai occurred? How do you prove in Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Siman Gimel? How do you know Har Sinai occurred? Especially since there's so many people with different languages. So Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim that once you know that they all came from one person, they all came from one location, they all came from Yefes, and then they spread out. But there was a cohesive living together at some earlier stage. So they all live within one setting, and they ended up having common stories that then they spread to the entire world and different cultures that they ended up living in. But those stories all came originally from Noach, who met Lamech, who met Adam. So Noach's the third generation for Bria Zola, because Noach knew Lamech and Lamech knew Adam. So whatever stories Noach was telling his children, that they then spread throughout all these lands, were the original stories of Bereshis. And Avram was a third generation after the Mabul, so he met Lamech, or he met Shame, who told him about the Mabul. So the stories, and then of course Avram told his children, Yitzchak and Yaakov, and then told the Egyptians about these stories. So all the stories we're reading about in Bereshis, even though today it seems like, oh, how could there be one story of creation where there's so many different cultures and so many different approaches, so many different languages, they all came from one collecting source. And then they spread out to different languages and different countries and different islands. But at one point in history, there was one common Masara, one common tradition, one common place where everyone lived, and we're telling the same stories. And then those stories started to make their way throughout the world. And then, of course, throughout history, those stories were broken. And we received Hashem's revealed world to tell us those stories. But these stories are not just revealed down the line in Shmos, but the stories in Bereishis were told by people who then ferreted out through the world, establishing different languages. This is the Rambam in the Morin Avukim, Chelek Gimel, or Chelek Gimel Simen Gimel. So the three, again, none of these Rambams are like earth-shattering, but they're starting to put little pieces of bricks into the wall. Why do we receive the land of Canaan? In part because the people who occupied Hashem's land weren't able to achieve spiritual development because they were subjected to the curse of slavery. Moses comes in. He should have been more discreet about his father's humiliating moments. What is happening here? We're seeing one people become many, from many languages, many cultures, but when they were one, there was one common story about creation, about the flood, about the Bible, which they then told. At a certain point, of course, humanity lost that religious tradition, and now we have to believe in what's written in precious. Okay? Okay, what time is it?
It's
8:00.
Okay, 8:45 on the dot. We have a new room. You're welcome to see it, 7:16. You can go to the new area. However, until we get a blackboard, we're still going to use 33. Because I haven't brought a blackboard in yet, so I offered to give me a portable blackboard. It's not enough. For Shabbat, you need a real blackboard. So room 33 at 8:45. Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning.